Cambridge Breakfast.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
It's Cambridge Breakfast with Julian Clover and Lucy Milazzo. And a Cambridge City Councillor says problems of recruitment and retention are being made far worse by the setting of English language standards in excess of what is needed for the roles. Councillor Baiju Tatala has led a successful motion at a recent City Council meeting. He joins us this morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you very much for coming in. We kind of all know the kind of pressures that the health service is under, amongst other things, staff shortages, yep. Of course. There's plenty else for them to worry about. Are you saying that the attitude towards language is making things worse?
This is what I think, and not only is my observation. I had carried out a reasonably well research of my own. They all have formed a view that the English requirement, what they have set up, is way too high. And especially those nurses who have migrated to this country for 15 years and working in an NHS hospital and restricting them because they can't speak English, you can't be a nurse.
So you're saying that one of the problems they're facing is promotional, moving from one role to another, even though they probably know the workings of the hospital better than anybody.
Exactly. For example, if you go to India or Philippines, recruit a new nurse who has the required level of English, and she is coming to work in Cambridge University Hospital today, whereas we have a nurse who worked in this hospital for 15 years, who would you prefer to be treated? Like, if a patient wants to be treated by a fresh nurse or someone who was working in that environment for 15 years.
To be honest, if I was sick, I possibly wouldn't check. I'd just rely on them all being up to the wonderful standard that we have at Haddon Brooks.
Exactly.
So what does your motion say, which was put before the council, I think, a couple of weeks ago now?
A couple of weeks ago, yeah. What we want, the people who have settled in this country for more than 4 years and worked in this country in an NHS hospital or a care sector should be given an overall 6.5.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's reasonable. I am not all or the victims are I would say victims of this victims of this regulation.
And the 6.5 you refer to, this is the International English Language Testing System, I guess is used in a number of places, but specifically here in the hospital. And so there's this level, as I understand it, of 7, but the element reduced for writing has now been reduced to 6.5.
Yeah.
But what, I don't know, what does that mean? As what sort of level of English would that be?
I'm not inclined to argue that we have to set a lower threshold for English language. I'm basically concerned about the people, the nurses who have worked in this country for more than 4 or 5 years, and I have in my research, I have seen people worked in this country for 15 years. Their English language should be assessed on the grounds of their capacity in a particular place where they work.
I suppose the thing about English, or any language for that matter, really, is whether or not you can be understood. I remember I speak very bad Dutch, and I was at a bar in Holland and with some English guys I know, and of course it's my little party trick to be able to order the drinks in Dutch, and they got these strange looks from the people I was with, and they said to the barman, what did he say? And the Dutch, of course, in perfect English, responsible. I understood him and gets the drinks. And that's the thing. You don't have to be perfect on English, do you? You just have to be understood.
But this is, we are talking about a situation where you see patients and vulnerable people. So there I wouldn't want to compromise, or I wouldn't want to argue to compromise about the standard of English. But when you set up a threshold, it has to be on a reasonable ground where all can work. Like, for example, what do you expect a nurse who worked in a hospital for 10 years and she has the same qualification, she has the same experience, and she studied in an English medium. If she was from India, she studied in an English medium. India is, you know, a federal state, you know, all the hospitals, they speak English. And
possibly better than we do some of the time, actually.
See, and when she comes here, and after working all 10 years, you're just, you're restricted.
And are you aware, you know, for example, nurses from India, from anywhere else, they could be from, I don't know, from Poland, from Hungary.
Exactly.
Are they sent at all to any courses to sort of help them brush up their English a little bit as part of just development of their career, really?
That is for the employers to look at it. But the NMC, the regulator, they actually, I don't think they're doing anything to improve, or they were looking some kind of improvement to help these nurses to get registered.
And are these nurses, are they going to have direct contact with patients? Because that is an important issue, because, you know, Cambridge, we all know, is a very welcoming place. But that said, it does kind of help to understand what you're being told.
You mean direct contact?
Yes, if a nurse is telling something to a patient who is sick, who is vulnerable, you know, the patient does need to have some certainty there. So you can understand why these regulations are in place.
See, again, when you say, you know, the 7-point threshold, what about a nurse who was looking after this particular patient for such a long period where she did not raise any concern at all?
No, I understand.
If her English language is not competent enough, the employer is duty-bound to make some kind of disciplinary sanctions. Mm. As long as we cannot see any disciplinary sanctions, I'm inclined to believe there was no concerns at all from the employer.
Now, the motion, as we understand, has been approved. What happens next?
I think I wait for the response and the local...
So you've written, as I understand it, the motion called upon, as phrased in the motion, the leader of the city council. Yep. So that means our friend Lewis Herbert.
Yes.
He'll write off a letter to the Nursing and Midwifery Council and also to the University Hospitals Trust as well.
Yes, and the Honourable Health Secretary.
Okay.
And we did meet Health Secretary in 2015. What we lobbied for somewhere about 55 victims.
Mm.
And we did manage to, we did not particularly see him, but we made
a representation.
Yeah. But it did not happen anything. It didn't happen. See, look at the situation now. Now the NHS directive, the hospital, are very concerned. I'll just read out one quote. Expert describes the situation at risk of becoming a national emergency in the nurses' shortage, and 11.8% of the nurses' posts were not filled. It is almost on 50,000, around 50,000 nurses. I mean, you don't have the...
And it's interesting, though. I noticed that there was a survey which the Nursing and Midwifery Council did, and it said that 51% of nurses polled said actually Brexit was the reason why they might be leaving the register, and a third said it was stress and poor mental health. So it's not necessarily always the language issue.
It depends on where are you going to take this research at the first place. Mm. Are you actually going to the right people? But see, somewhere about in our assessment, somewhere about 8,000 nurses are into this category from non-EU states.
Mm.
They are trying their level best to get through. And I have an example here. A nurse attended this exam, and she got, for listening, 9 out of 9, and reading 7.5, and writing 6, and speaking 8.5. Overall, this is 8. And next time, her next attempt, she failed a module which she passed previously, so she can't be a nurse.
Oh, it seems awfully unfair. Well, look, Councillor Tatala, thank you very much for coming in, telling us about that. Do come back and let us know if you get any response from the Midwifery Council, from also from the Universities Trust, and maybe from the Health Secretary, although I think he might be busy on other things at this particular moment in time. But thank you very much indeed.
Thank you. Thank you.
And we spoke to the Nursing and Midwifery Council, and their chief executive, Andrea Sutcliffe, told us for the last 18 months, we've been working hard to make the process for joining our register as simple, straightforward and cost-effective as possible. Key developments include a 20% reduction in the cost of overseas test of competence and changes to our resit rules, as well as amended language testing requirements and more in-depth supporting material for candidates. Our most recent registration data shows 126% increase in the number of nurses and midwives from overseas joining our register for the first time.
We should also mention that the Addenbrookes and Rosie Maternity Hospitals are planning to hold their second open day since January for would-be nurses, midwives and healthcare support workers. This is getting good here, by the way. Families are also invited to get involved with the open day, which takes place at the Deakin Centre near the main car park between 9 a.m. and 2 p.m. on Saturday the 22nd of June. Children can dress up in scrubs, pretend to be a nurse, and bring along their favourite teddy so a real clinician can give it a health check. Just don't take the stitches out of the ear. It's at 21 after 8.
Cambridge 105.